The following is a presentation of KSL Sports. First and 12. A total roundup of this weekend's BYU football and the new look Big 12 Conference. First and 12 is sponsored by Macy's Grocery Store. Your hosts are Mitch Harper and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome on into First and 12 here on KSL News Radio. The KSL Sports Zone, and it's powered by KSL Sports every Sunday, 10 a.m. to noon. Your weekly look at Big 12 football. You heard in the show open, typically Alex Keery hosts this show with me, but he is down in Las Vegas with some F1. So he's down there doing his thing in Sin City. Joining me is my regular co-host on Cougar Sports Saturday and also my co-host on Cougar Nation Monday night, 6 to 7. He is the great Matt Biamonte, who had a busy Saturday covering the BYU-Oklahoma game, had some broadcasting duties. Matt, good to be with you, man.
Glad to be with you, Mitch, talking Big 12. Had a lot of fun doing play-by-play for the WAC volleyball tournament. Volleyball is a lot of fun. Like, it's grown on me. BYU has been great at volleyball for a long time, so it was a lot of fun. But I'm glad to be talking football, all things Big 12 with you, Mitch.
It's going to be a lot of fun today because this Big 12 title race is heating up, and let's dive into it and also that BYU-Oklahoma game in our Big 12 headlines.
12 headlines.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
The dozen storylines that shape this week of Big 12 football. Headline 1.
Let's start with it. BYU's upset bid against Oklahoma comes up short on senior day as the Cougars fall 31-24. We'll break down this game a lot more in depth in the next segment, but a tough setback for BYU, who had the chance to get the upset, Matt.
A tough setback would be the loss to Kansas. This was more like a gut-wrenching, heartbreaking, excruciating loss because BYU was better. But the three turnovers that led to 21 points for Oklahoma, they could not overcome that. And that was their best chance, I think, at getting to a bowl game, and it slipped through their fingers.
Headline number 2, Oklahoma quarterback Dylan Gabriel exits with a head injury. Jackson Arnold, the five-star quarterback, his red shirt gone. He had to step in relief of Gabriel, who reportedly had that head injury. So Oklahoma, they escape Provo with a win. I got some questions going forward if they want to really be in that Big 12 championship race.
Headline number 3, their bedlam. You can't call him a bedlam rival anymore because that's over. That's in the past. But Oklahoma State got it done with a win over Houston. They still control their own destiny heading into the Big 12 title game. BYU plays at Oklahoma State next week, but the Cowboys did what they had to do to stay in the race.
Now, headline number 4, Texas defeats Iowa State. This game had a little bit of a Big Ten West type of vibes. Weird score, low scoring. Texas kind of won a little bit of a, at the beginning, a rock fight, and then they pulled away late. But Longhorns staying in that playoff race, bigger aspirations than simply the Big 12 title. Big win for Texas to go into Ames and get that win.
Headline number 5. 7-Eleven growing up was a thing for me. Was it for you, Mitch?
It was a thing, yes.
Well, for Iowa State, it's 7-Eleven has fallen off, and so did Iowa State's ground attack. They could not run the football whatsoever. The reason I brought up those numbers was, that's as many rushing yards as they had against Texas. So the rushing attack was grounded. This sounded a lot better before it came out into the mic. So I guess I could just simplify it by saying this, Mitch. Iowa State could not run the football against Texas.
Big 12 newcomer of the week, Abu Sama, against BYU was amazing. Against Texas, he was a no-show.
That's where the 7-Eleven came from. He had 7 carries for 11 yards. Thank you for getting me back on track.
Headline number 6, Kansas State comes back to defeat K Kansas, rival Kansas, in the Sunflower Showdown, 31-27. You know, Will Howard, he took some criticisms midway point of the season. People were ready to move on to Avery Johnson. This guy's just finding a way to win. He storms them back to an 11-point deficit, gets the win. They stay in that Big 12 championship game race.
And he had a great game-winning touchdown to give the Wildcats the lead. Headline number 7, the Jayhawks down to their third-string quarterback, Cole Ballard. He was all right, but he was not Jason Bean. He was not Jalen Daniels, who, by the way, is coming back next year. So good for Rock Chalk Jayhawk on the football field. We'll see what happens with their head coach. Will he be there next year? That's a big question with so many openings. But Kansas just cannot overcome the injury at quarterback.
There was a stretch in that game where I felt like they're going to win this game. Kansas State's going to be knocked out of the race. But you bring up Jalen Daniels. It is noteworthy that he also said, I'm excited to come back with Lance Leipold as my coach. So you're right. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll what see about there. That. I've heard that many times before. I'm going nowhere. Okay, everyone. It was nice knowing you.
Headline number 8, Texas Tech reaches bowl eligibility. They secure a 24-23 win over UCF. Taj Brooks, the talented running back for the Red Raiders, he runs for 182. Knights are playing tough. Credit UCF. They're one win away from bowl eligibility, but Texas Tech, I know it's a down year from the high expectations they had coming in, but at least they secure a bowl, which is what they needed to get done.
In another game that has no impact on the Big 12 title race, headline number 9, West Virginia ran for 424 yards against old Big East foe, the Bearcats of Cincinnati, 42-21. I think we've seen a theme a lot this year in the Big 12, Mitch, that these new schools, they've got a long way to go to get to the likes of West Virginia, who West Virginia's nice. They're okay. They're not going to be competing for a Big 12 chip anytime soon, and they're rolling through some of the new 4 teams.
They have just been putting up some eye-popping numbers on the ground against those Big 12 newcomers. Headline number 10, speaking about newcomers having big performances, Josh Hoover, we remember this guy. He torched BYU what feels like a lifetime ago. He came to life again, this time in the Blue Bonnet Battle. Do you like that name?
I hate that name.
Yeah,
the Blue Bonnet Battle.
I was kind of more the revivalry. I think it was maybe a concoction of, hey, Red River's going out the door. Now we need to bring in some sort of rivalry name.
Blue Bonnet Battle. Is the best we could come up with. Isn't that an ice cream brand?
Bluebell ice cream? Blue Bonnet sounds like it'd be a good ice cream, though. Maybe get a Dr. Pepper flavor. But Baylor falls to TCU as Josh Hoover puts up some big numbers. He threw for over 400 yards as the Horned Frogs, they roll through the Bears and get that Blue Bonnet Battle.
Headline number 11, and this really hits home for me. Big 12 tiebreakers are confusing everybody. I don't understand, actually, how this is going to play out. I think I understand that Texas is in there. And after that, Mitch, I need your help as the resident expert here. Help us make sense of what's happening after that.
So here's where it stands heading into the final week of the regular season in the Big 12. Number 1, as you said, Texas, they're atop the rankings here heading into the Big 12 championship game. Number 2, it's Oklahoma State because of that tiebreaker rule that was not added according to the Big 12, but it was kind of added by the bylaws. They defeated Kansas State and Oklahoma earlier this year. So based on the round robin head-to-head matchups, Oklahoma State, are in the number 2 spot. Number 3, Oklahoma. Number 4, Kansas State. And then number 5 is Iowa State, who drops to 5-3. So that's your top 4 teams heading into the final weekend. And headline number 12, those 4 teams are vying for a chance to play in Arlington in the Big 12 championship, but more importantly, win the WWE Big 12 belt. Do you like this move?
I hate it.
What? You hate this?
It's stupid. It's a gimmick. I mean, I was all for the turnover chain, sit on the throne, do all that crap after a turnover, but a belt for a championship? Give me a break.
Hey, this is not only a belt. This is a WWE, the world champion belt.
Shoo. Shoo. Don't care.
You were not a fan of The Rock growing up as a kid, Stone Cold Steve Austin?
I was too busy playing NCAA football, drinking Mountain Dew, and playing sports. I didn't have time for WWE.
Can I just say, you got Nelly. You got WWE. How lit is the Big 12 championship game going to be?
If it was 1999 or 2001, it'd be a little more lit than it. Come on, Nelly.
Stomping on my Air Force One. Big Pod. Let's go. All right, we got to take our first time out. That's your Big 12 headlines. Here on First and 12, he's Matt Biamonte. I'm Mitch Harper. Matt's filling in for Alex Keery, who's down in Las Vegas. We're taking a break. We'll break down the BYU game next as the Cougars follow the Sooners. What went wrong for the Cougs? We'll break that down right here on First and 12, and it's powered by KSL Sports.
Read all the stories about BYU sports no one else has heard. Go to KSLSports.com for exclusive columns by BYU insider Mitch Harper. That's KSLSports.com.
Welcome back in to First and 12, your weekly check-in on Big 12 football and BYU football right here on your legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio, and the KSL Sports Zone. If you miss any part of the show, you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast or KSLSports.com. Matt Biamonte, host of Cougar Sports Saturday and Cougar Nation. He is joining me today in replace of Alex Keery. Matt, we got to get to this BYU game against Oklahoma. The Cougars fall to OU 31-24, just as we all predicted, right? BYU had a valiant effort, but it wasn't enough. Your feelings, your takeaways from this game one day later after the Cougs fall for the fourth consecutive week.
My goodness. One day later, Mitch, this feels like, and this might be just being a victim of the moment, but it feels like the most painful BYU loss since, I don't know, 2018 against Utah.
Whoa.
I just feel like this game was given away because of the turnovers. And the more I think about it, the harder it gets because it's 17-all at halftime. BYU runs down the field in the mid-third quarter. They're down to the two-yard line. They're going fast. They're in the gun. RPO, I mean, sort of. It never really looked like it was going to be a handoff. I'm sure you've rewatched the play a couple times. It wasn't like the ball was in the gut of Robbins and pulled. Look, Kalani said it was an RPO. We have no reason to doubt that it was, but it was clear that Jake Retzlaff was always going to throw that football. And he throws the interception, and that changed the game on multiple levels. Number one, it stole the momentum. You and I were sitting next to each other in the press box. It was shocking. Like, the way you described it in our post-game video, just one of the most devastating turnarounds. It really felt that way. The highs, like, you really felt BYU was running the ball at will. They were going to take the lead. They were going to be in control. LES was buzzing. You felt like, this is going to happen. They have a true freshman quarterback over there, and that's the part that stings the most, is Jeff Lebby, Oklahoma's offensive coordinator. He had no intention of letting Jackson Arnold do anything, and he would have had to if BYU goes up 24-17. You could not have just been ultra conservative, run the football. They were not going to win that way. And I don't think they were going to win at all because I don't think Jackson Arnold was ready for the moment. I don't think he was prepared. But that interception let Oklahoma off the hook. And I don't think BYU is getting to a bowl game. And it really comes down to this, Mitch. That interception by Jake Retzlaff cost BYU a chance to go to the bowl.
Well said. I can't argue with that because that moment swung everything for BYU. I think they win that game, Matt, if they punch that in with Aiden Robbins on the ground.
Too.
I think they win the ball game because you're right. I think Jackson Arnold, he looked rattled. BYU's defense got to him on the previous possession. Tyler Batty had a quarterback hurry. BYU was generating pressure on him. They couldn't get to Dylan Gabriel much, but they were having success on Arnold. And I just feel that that would have had LES just rocking to the max. It was a, you know, pretty good sizable crowd of Oklahoma fans. Well done, Sooner Nation, showing up to Provo. It was great turnout from OU, but BYU fans would have been in a frenzy, and it's just unfortunate. And you're right, this is such a missed opportunity because you're not getting Oklahoma again. I know that some of the Oklahoma media members that made the trip, they were telling me that they told Joe Castiglione, the athletic director at OU, hey, come on, you got to get another series with BYU, a home and home. Look, I'd love that. You and I would love that. But let's be real. We know how these ADs work. They're not going to do something that's out of their comfort zone and maybe not needed. Hopefully these ADs understand that these sort of matchups were cool. But what I take away, too, is that BYU was the better team on Saturday. And Oklahoma, man, I'm telling you, you're going into the deep end next year in the SEC. You're staring down a world where you might be the next Tennessee, and you're just, you know, every 20 years, maybe you have a special year. But other than that, it's a bunch of 7 and 8 win seasons, because that OU team today, or yesterday, excuse me, they struggled mightily. No team has allowed BYU's ground attack to come alive. Not Sam Houston, not Southern Utah. No one except the mighty Oklahoma Sooners. BYU squandered an amazing opportunity. And Jake Retzlaff, Matt, I feel like the pros to him at quarterback, he opened up that ground attack. You can't ignore that. But those mistakes, those turnovers, not only the pick, but the fumble after the big punt return from Parker Kingston, they were devastating for this BYU team.
And they were devastating last week. That's the thing. In his debut against West Virginia, he did so many things well. He was running the football. He was decisive. He did not turn the ball over. But for 2 weeks in a row, he's had bad turnovers. Like, BYU fans were getting all over Keaton Slovis for some bad picks early in the year. These turnovers from Jake are way worse than those. And they have completely changed the outcome of some football games. And here's another thing too, Mitch. Jake Retzlaff had an opportunity to cement himself as next year's starting quarterback. He did. He absolutely did. He went over Oklahoma, would have done that. Now you say, okay, there's stuff there, but we got to bring someone in. There's got to be a battle, and Jake's going to be a part of it, because there's enough good there.
Yes.
You don't just say you're not the guy. There could very well be something there, but his mistakes go against everything Aaron Roderick has talked about for 4 years. I swear that whenever he gets asked, what's your brand of football? What's your identity? Taking care of the football. And you have bone-crushing, back-breaking turnovers. That one 2 weeks ago has, like, sort of been swept under the rug, Mitch. First freaking play of the game. You have the underneath to Isaac Rex. You throw a pick. You're down 7-0. Instantly changes the football game out of the get-go. You can't have that. And that interception didn't lose them the game against Iowa State, but this one against Oklahoma did.
Jake Retzlaff finished 15 of 26, 173 yards, 2 touchdowns. The INT that went for 100 yards, pick six. You don't see that every day where it goes 100 yards, 58% completion rate, 131 QBR. Where does BYU go from here? Do they go back to Keaton Slovis? I feel like, Matt, that BYU is going to roll with Retzlaff again because of the ground game. If they're going to keep up with Ollie Gordon and Oklahoma State next week, they got to keep that guy off the field, and that's by having an effective ground attack. So despite all these mistakes and protecting the program, which is the ball, I think they're running it back with him.
You probably have to because of the run game element.
Yeah.
And look, he did a lot of nice things. There were several plays that he made with his legs that turned into good passes. So it's not all bad with Jake. It's just, look, football games often come down to 3, 4, or 5 plays. And Jake Retzlaff made, look, and it wasn't just the pick. They bounced back from that. They tied at 24. It's 3rd and 4. This isn't 3rd and 13, and you're expecting some crazy blitz, and they're going to... It's 3rd and 4, Mitch. You've got to understand the situation. Like, that was the most frustrating part today, is I don't feel like Jake, the IQ was enough. It wasn't high enough today. 3rd and 4, it's tied up. You can't take a strip sack. You cannot do it. You can't be loose with the football. Like, both of those turnovers were inexcusable in costing the football game, and it's tough, but if he is going to unlock the run game, that's the only fighting chance you have to beat Oklahoma State next week.
Oklahoma linebacker who got that strip sack, Danny Stutzman, he was on an IV, according to Brent Venables, who had to be dealing with the flu. There are some Oklahoma players that seem sick, but low energy from that Sooner team. And BYU had the energy, and they just squandered an amazing opportunity. First and 12 brought to you by Macy's Grocery Store. Get the freshest fruits and vegetables from local farms and your favorite local brands. Macy's, happy shopping. Taking the time out, you'll hear from head coach Kalani Sitake next, right here on First and 12, powered by KSL Sports.
The following is a presentation of KSL Sports. First and 12. A total roundup of this weekend's BYU football and the new look Big 12 Conference. First and 12 is sponsored by Macy's Grocery Store. Your hosts are Mitch Harper and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone.
Matt Biamonte filling in for Alex Keery this week. Joining me, Mitch Harper, every single week here, 10 a.m. to noon. First and 12. Appreciate all of you tuning into the show. If you miss any part of the program, you can listen to the replay 3 to 5 this afternoon on KSL News Radio. Also on podcast, too, on kslsports.com. BYU head coach Kalani Sitake. He was pretty open. He's pretty honest, I must say, after the Cougars fell to Oklahoma 31-24. This was Kalani after the game.
Proud of the guys. Obviously didn't. That's not the outcome I was feeling, and even from before the game to the end, we felt like we had a shot at this, and probably said this way too many times, but we made too many mistakes, and came down to the wire to the end of it. So proud of the guys' fight. Really no moral victories, and we knew we can play with people. I'm glad that they were able to show it on the field, you know what I mean? So credit to Oklahoma. I think Coach Venables has done a great job with his team. They're resilient. They fight back from and cause turnovers and stuff that I wish we could have done. And I like the way they won the game, you know, with offense on victory. And so credit to them. And you know, I don't know how it's looking with the Big 12 championship game, but it looks like they're in the mix. And so, we're in a situation now where our backs are against the wall. And if we want to extend this season, we got to win next week, and we have to do it on the road, go to Oklahoma State and try to find a way. And proud of the guys. I think they'll keep working hard, and hopefully we can play our best game next week. Felt like this was missed opportunities for us, and to give Oklahoma credit, they were able to do some things and create turnovers and put us in some tough spots. But, we just have to find ways, keep working. We're building something nice here, and part of the building process that we have to find a way to try to extend the season so we can utilize those practices to develop our players. So, ready to take any of your guys' questions you guys have. So, yeah.
Target 17, you're running the ball well right now, the 2-yard line. Are you okay with that play call?
Yeah, the play call is an RPO, which means run first, you know. And you don't throw the, and we went fast, so you don't throw the pass unless there's nobody covering him. And so I have to go look at it, but I don't think the receiver even thought the ball was going to go to him. You know, this is one of those moments where you just got to hand the ball off. And I believe they had two guys out on coverage. And that's from our read is give the ball. So yeah, it wasn't like a beast mode type of decision back in the day. This was a definite RPO call, which is run is first, and usually you only throw the ball if you have the numbers out there and open, and try to go fast to see if we can throw them off in coverage. And sometimes you can get a cheap one where guys aren't noticing the formation, see a receiver there in the slot. Credit to their guy, they made the play, and we made a mistake, and a costly one, because you're about to go up by seven. Instead, you go down by seven, so there's a 14-point swing, which was horrible to go through, but the guys fought back, you know, and we fought back from that moment and tried to – and had our moments, but turnovers cost us. You cannot be careless with the football, whether it's fumbles or interceptions, and expect to beat teams. And in the turnover margin, we lost this one, and that's what it comes down to. And they were really costly. Jay would tell me, and will say it over and over again, that we expect the defense to respond whenever we do that. That's why I go for it on fourth down quite a bit. I said, hey, listen, we're going to put the defense in a tough spot, but just be ready to go, and that's what we do. But we have to protect the football. We have to. Otherwise, the system does not work. I want to be aggressive with going it on fourth downs, but we can't find ways to. And if you're looking at the turnovers, they were just – I believe the one was just a mishandle with the ball. And then the other one was empty formation, which is third and short. We just got to find a way to get the ball out. You know that there's pressure coming, and we have our hot routes and everything in place, and just didn't make the play, didn't execute. I had to see that one on film, but that's a tough one to put your defense in a tough spot although the defense is supposed to respond, it's just really hard to keep doing that to them over and over again.
What do you think of the preparation and the effort from this team to get ready for this
game? Yeah, the effort's been great, guys. Listen, some of the games that we've had when we've been blown out, the majority of the guys have given them great effort. I think some of the issues and guys, I think it's easy to say, well, they didn't give effort in this game and they gave effort in the other ones. The guys and the leaders are playing their butts off, you know, and a lot of it is the mistakes that are making. Sometimes when you're making mistakes and you're not going 100%, it just looks like you're lost out there. But the guys work hard. We demand effort from all of them. And you can usually overcome any of the mistakes that you have with your effort and your energy. And that we just weren't able to do that. And when you're going against really good teams and you turn the ball over that many times and really, you know, usually you get knocked out. And so I think I said it when the Texas game, the defense fought, gave us a chance, you know. And that one phase was working for us. This one, I felt like all three phases were really starting to click. We're doing some really good things on all three phases. Our punt cover was a lot better. Our return game, I think Parker had a really good return, and then the next play we turned the ball over. So we're not building on the momentum that's already there, and it cost us. And I think offensively we saw some really good things, but the turnovers were such a downer. That's the thing we're going to keep going back on. And I don't care if quarterbacks or players think that we overemphasize that. It's like, take care of the stinking football. Don't put it on the ground. And don't be careless with throwing the ball as well. So that ball does not belong to him. It belongs to the program, belongs to Cougar Nation. And that's obviously we're not doing a good enough job at emphasizing that.
Kalani, if Keaton is healthy next week, are you going to ride with him? Or are you going to ride this thing out with Jake?
I think we'll see how Keaton made a huge improvement from last week to this week. And he had some really good practices this week. So I think going into next week, we'll have to evaluate that and see where he's at. I mean, it's Saturday right now. Saturday, you guys got a whole day ahead of you guys. Wow, it's usually 2 a.m. when we're doing this, but we will see how it looks on Monday. But I think that's been always the plan, is go with the best quarterback that gives us the best chance to win. And so we'll see. I'll talk to A-Rod. We'll talk to the quarterbacks. We'll see what that looks like next week, early next week, and I'll let you guys know as soon as I can. But looking at Keaton's progress that he made from last week to this week, if he does the same type of progress, I feel really good about him being on the field too.
Why the timeout at the end of the game? It's like 2 minutes left. Was the clock going to run again? Or
yeah, it was going to run, and then we're just desperate. We're just like, you know, just like, hey, are you sure you reviewed it? Could you find a different angle and try to, you know, maybe there's a magical angle that shows up and his knee wasn't down and there was a fumble. I mean, I think we're just nothing to lose there, and I wish I would have just called it earlier so they didn't have to break the formation, get out and set up the offense. And but we told them we were just going to do that, and I think that's why they looked at it extra carefully again, and the clock was going to be a running clock.
I know you said that you don't want moral victories, but you went blow for blow with a nationally ranked team for 60 minutes. Does that give you confidence heading into, you know, Oklahoma State next week with how you guys competed?
Well, I mean, when you moral victories, I mean, so you have to be proud of your effort and things that you did, but what I was proud of was the battle in the trenches, you know, when it looked like in some of the other games we were maybe overmatched or we weren't in the right spot, and a lot of that had to do with bad technique. This one is like I felt like the guys were fighting back and forth. It's not like we dominated them up front and they dominated us. It was a good back and forth. Unfortunately, they were able to grind the clock out and get the win at the end. I'd like to see our guys like respond differently and try to find a way to get the ball back. But Oklahoma's a really good team, man. I know that Dylan wasn't able to come back and play, but they have good players all over the place in great depth, and that's what we're trying to build here. And so, you know, I felt like their quarterback came in and he took care of the football. Looking at what he did, you know, Jackson Arnold took care of the football and actually ran the ball pretty physically, you know. So they put it on his shoulders to win the game. And even when they needed a first down, they were able to allow him to throw the ball. So credit to them for making the plays to win the game. Disappointing that we gave up so many turnovers that cost us a lot of points.
That was BYU head coach Kalani Sitake after the Cougars fall to 5-6 on the season, losing to Oklahoma 31-24. Taking a timeout on the other side, we'll get to the Big 12 featured game of the week here on First and 12, and it's powered by KSL Sports.
Can't get enough BYU football? Listen to Cougar Nation. Mitch Harper takes your calls Monday nights from 6 to 7 on KSL News Radio. Podcast at kslnewsradio.com.
Also taking those phone calls, Matt Biamonte, who's joining me this week on First and 12 as Alex Keery is in Las Vegas enjoying some F1. He was up late last night listening to the F1. Are you much of an F1 guy at all?
No.
No?
Are you?
I was kind of interested in the race this weekend because of the whole Vegas scene. Just I don't want to see F1 ever show up.
They have destroyed some things on the strip down there for this that really bothers me. Just rip out all the trees in front of the Bellagio fountains. Not cool.
Yeah, I don't want to see F1 ever come to Salt Lake. Please don't mess up our city, please. Anyway, but Alex will be back next week. We appreciate you, Matt, for joining us here on the show this week to talk Big 12 football. And this is where we look back at the Big 12 featured game of the week. And there was a lot of good games around the conference, but I feel like we got to stay on the conversation of BYU-Oklahoma. That was the game because Oklahoma still has championship game hopes. They come in now about the fourth place team heading into the final week of the regular season. How do you feel about this Oklahoma team moving forward? What do you feel that you learned about them? Were you uninspired by the Sooners' performance?
A little, for sure. It's hard to come away with that, but at the same time, you do have to give some credit to BYU, right? Like, I think BYU is talented enough, Mitch, to get to a bowl game. Now, there's injuries, there's the strength of schedule. There's a lot of factors at play as to why BYU may miss out on postseason play, but this isn't some bum team. Like, I think some people look at this and say, wow, like, BYU's not any good. No, BYU's okay. They have issues, but they're talented. Oklahoma, I think what I learned the most from them is, say what you want about Dylan Gabriel. Dude beat Texas early in the year, and this was a completely different team when Dylan Gabriel wasn't there. Jackson Arnold, he may become a great quarterback, but they missed Dylan Gabriel tremendously, and BYU did not take advantage.
I'm impressed with how BYU has not given up on the season. I think BYU teams of old would have rolled over and died and said, you know what, it is what it is. Let's just enjoy our December, enjoy the holidays, move on with life, and go apply for jobs or hit the transfer portal. I thought it was great that BYU battled and showed fight because after what transpired against Iowa State, Matt, I think so many people outside the program thought, does this BYU team care? Are they just checked out? Is Kalani losing control of this program? Is the culture just wrecked? And I thought it was a nice bounce back performance. Yes, you want to get the win. And I'm not trying to say moral victory, but I just feel like that was a moment, a game where you said, you know, things are trending up for this program and they've got it in them to compete against a nationally ranked team. Outside of a handful of teams, maybe three or four, we're learning in college football in this transfer portal era, anything can happen on any given day. And in the Big 12 conference, we are learning home field advantage is a real thing. And at BYU, they've got a great home field advantage when the fans are engaged, and they were on Saturday. That 10 a.m. kick did not impact the crowd at all, except for maybe the student section.
It impacted The Rock. The Rock was disappointing. Like, give me a break, guys. It's not even finals week.
The Rock, the student section was a big disappointment, but I just love that BYU battled and they fought, and it gives me some hope that they can go to Oklahoma State and maybe do the unthinkable and spring an upset. Now, they've been horrific on the road. They've been pretty good at home, but I just feel a lot better about this team right now than I did a week ago.
The one pause I have to that is defensively, there are too many injuries. The third down defense has been poor. Look, BYU's offense punted the ball away, and if the defense could have done its job, they could have had one more crack at tying the game. They couldn't do it. And so the defense for BYU is also a problem. Like, point the finger at Jake Retzlaff, point the game at the running game and previous losses, sure. But the BYU defense, specifically in third down, has been trending downwards for a long time, and it's hurt this BYU football team.
And they can't get sacks. They just can't. Nope. It is what it is again. BYU's got only 10 sacks through 11 games. Inexcusable. I would have thought for sure BYU would have at least 20. Not the case. Once again, BYU can't get home and get to the quarterback. First and 12 brought to you by Macy's Grocery Store. Get the freshest fruits and vegetables from local farms and your favorite local brands. Macy's Happy Shopping, proud sponsor of First and 12. Taking the time out, we'll get to our Big 12 power rankings next, your favorite segment here on First and 12, and it's powered by KSL Sports.
The following is a presentation of KSL Sports. First and 12. A total roundup of this weekend's BYU football and the new look Big 12 Conference. First and 12 is sponsored by Macy's Grocery Store. Your hosts are Mitch Harper and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone.
Hour number two is underway here on First and 12. Mitch Harper. No Alex Keery this week. He's in Las Vegas for F1. So joining me is Matt Biamonte, host of Cougar Sports Saturday, Cougar Nation. Cougar Nation, Monday nights, tomorrow. We'll be taking your phone calls 6 to 7 as another therapy session for all of Cougar Nation. Matt, we're having a lot of fun. Are you enjoying yourself?
Having a blast. I love Cougar Nation. This show's a lot of fun. There's a lot of great content in the state of Utah right now for college football. This is a great college football state, and I love that there's multiple programs now at the highest level. That's the way it should have always been, and it's been a lot of fun covering football in that regard.
You know what's also a lot of fun too, Matt, on this show? The Big 12 Power Rankings. Let's get to it.
The Big 12 Power Rankings Big Board, a weekly rank of all 12 programs from the elite to the bottom dwellers.
That's right, Matt. It's our feature segment every single week here on First and 12, the Power Rankings. You know, for the first time since we started this show, felt like it's kind of finally fallen into place. There was a lot of volatility in Big 12 Power Rankings to begin the year. Felt like for the first 8 weeks or so, you're seeing a team go from 14 to 2. I mean, Oklahoma State 1 week, we had at 14 after losing to USA. Now, they're near the top of the pecking order. So, let's roll it out here, the Big 12 Power Rankings. Let's start with number one, the Texas Longhorns. No surprise, they sit atop the standings. They're in the favorite to be the number one team at the Big 12 Championship game and maybe have an outside shot at the playoff.
I don't feel like they're one of the four best teams, though. That's the thing. They're certainly better with Quinn Ewers than they were with Malik Murphy. And losing Jonathan Brooks hurts. However, C.J. Baxter still ran for over 100 yards against Iowa State. So they've got a lot of great running backs. And yet, you look at the scores week after week. They barely outlast an Iowa State team on the road, 26-16. I'm not inspired by that.
Are we not giving enough credit to the Big 12 teams, though? Are we falling victim to the logos again and saying, well, Texas should crush
maybe a little bit. I'm just saying I don't think Texas is one of the four best teams at the end of the day. I'm not saying the Big 12 is not good. I'm not saying Texas isn't good. I just feel like even though they beat Alabama, don't you feel like today Alabama is a better football team than Texas?
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like Alabama will move ahead of Texas eventually here. It's going to happen. We saw Texas live and in person. When BYU traveled down to the 40 acres, I was unimpressed. I felt
if they could have fielded a halfway, if they could have fielded the offense against Oklahoma, that would have been a football game.
Good point. Yeah, if BYU had a smidge of offense in Austin a month ago, that's a competitive ball game. Yeah. And
I don't know if they win, but you walk out of there feeling like, okay, we played with the Big 12's supposed best team.
Big 12 Power Rankings here on First and 12. That's number one, Texas. Number two, Oklahoma State. They're also number two in the standings with the tiebreakers that go in their favor with the head-to-head results. The Pokes got a big win over Houston. Nice bounce-back win after that disaster at UCF a week ago.
I can't believe that Oklahoma State is in this position. I really cannot. After the way things started in non-conference play, I had written them off. I was feeling like, man, hey, there's a good chance at the end of the year BYU's going to go down there and win. It doesn't look that way anymore, and it just goes to show how critical it is, Mitch, to have an identity. Once they found one with Ollie Gordon II, it changed that football team. It helped Alan Bowman settle in. And I think they have to be number two right now just because of the position they're in. They took care of business on the road, and they're sitting pretty. Let's go to number three. Even saying this name, Mitch, it stings.
Too soon?
Oklahoma Sooners, number three. Look, you got to give them credit for two things. Number one, a lot's been said about the turnovers, and rightfully so, but Oklahoma made those plays. They jumped the route and went 100 yards back for the six, and Danny Stutzman, it was brilliant of him to just slowly sneak out of the vision of Retzlaff, go in there, force the fumble out. They made those plays, and then for them to make enough plays offensively with a true freshman quarterback, tip of the cap to them. They should have been beat, but they still got it done. And that's a credit to a good team. Not everything goes your way on the road. Sometimes you have to find ways to win. They did that.
It'll be interesting to see how long Dylan Gabriel's out, one. They've got the best offense in the Big 12, averaging 40 points a game. How much does that change if Jackson Arnold's the quarterback next week against TCU? We'll have to see. Number four, Kansas State. Got a big win in their rivalry matchup against Kansas. K-State's solid, man. They continue to be a force in this league. I think they're going to be one of the best programs in the new Big 12 when Texas and Oklahoma leave. I just feel like in a year where, you know, it's kind of been an underrated storyline, typically when we talk about Big 12 teams, they can't follow it up after a big year. Last year, Kansas State won the Big 12. I think a lot of people on the outside keep thinking TCU won and say, oh, typical Big 12 letdown. K-State's not letting down. They're still one of the best teams in this conference. They're right there heading into the final week with a chance to get to the championship game. Number five, making a climb this week, West Virginia. I think a lot of credit has to be given to the Mountaineers for how dominant they have destroyed some of these newcomer programs in the Big 12. West Virginia's ground attack with Garrett Green has been outstanding this season in certain games. Yes, they look poor a couple weeks ago against Oklahoma, but a lot of teams in this league have struggled against the Sooners. West Virginia, I think, deserves to be in this top five. And like Oklahoma State, who would have thought that the Mountaineers would be in a spot heading into the final week in the top five of the power rankings?
7-4, they're going bowling, and I can't stop thinking about Neil Brown at Big 12 Media Days before the year began. I'm enjoying a beach vacation, and I get a message from an administrator. You were picked last in the Big 12. And he was like, oh, no, let's go right now. And look, West Virginia and Neil Brown, they have answered the call. They've surprised a lot of people.
Number six, the Kansas Jayhawks, who come up short against Kansas State. They had an 11-point lead, but come up on the losing end. Kansas, I think, would be higher if they had Jason Bean or Jalen Daniels. Still haven't seen Jalen Daniels since that game against BYU.
He's not coming back. When you're putting out the social media post about the next season, you're shutting it down.
But that's exciting for Kansas when you look at the 16-team Big 12 of the future to have Jalen Daniels. I don't think he's going to get the preseason hype next year like he did this season, but that's a nice piece to have going into the 16-team Big 12 next year. Dipping two spots this week, number seven, Iowa State, who battled Texas but came up short.
You can't remain in your previous power ranking spot, Mitch, when at home you run for 9 yards.
Yeah.
That's just an automatic.
That's a good rule to have.
That's an automatic look at the box score. Oh, you ran for 9 yards? We're dropping you down the list.
Number eight, Texas Tech. They get a tough win against UCF, and now they are bowl eligible. Joey McGuire, he was confident last month. He was on his coach's show telling the host, yeah, we'll get to bowl eligibility. And after they lost to BYU, I thought, yeah, Joey, you might want to run that back. Hey, credit to him. He got a tough win at Kansas last week, got another tough win against UCF. It's not pretty all the time with Texas Tech, but they're finding ways to win. And getting Baron Morton back was huge for this team. He's kind of brought a little bit of stability to that offense. We forget Tyler Shuck was once the starter. They've dealt with a lot of injuries at Texas Tech. And to navigate all of that and still get to six wins, nice job by Joey McGuire and the Red Raiders.
TCU at number nine. They blow out Baylor. It would have been easy to maybe have them in front of Tech because of the margin of victory. But then you have to factor in that Baylor, and this is maybe a little bit of a spoiler alert here. They're dead last again, all right, in the rankings. They are bad. They are a bad football team. They are very bad. And so, look, TCU, TCU did what they were supposed to. And, hey, you know what? It's a coin flip. Tech, TCU, 8-9. We leave TCU at 9.
If there's some things I know after watching a lot of BYU football this year, I know some bad football. I know quite a bit. They're checking in at number 10 on the power rankings, UCF. UCF, despite their 5-6 record, they're number 4 in the league in scoring offense, 33 points a game. The Gus Bus still knows how to run a high-powered offense. And remember, that was with Timmy McClain for a while at quarterback, John Rhys Plumlee. He's had some up-and-down performances. You kind of got the bad John Rhys Plumlee yesterday against Texas Tech as they only produced 23 points. But still, I like how that team is playing. They're a lot more competitive than where they were, say, when they got the doors blown off them against Kansas. Number 11, making a slight jump this week due to the, I think, bounce-back effort, showing well against one of the better teams in the league. That's BYU.
Yeah, look. They ran for over 200 yards for the first time this year, and that's the only way you can even dream up a scenario of you beating Oklahoma State next week, is that you run for the football again. Maybe your quarterback, who's very inexperienced, has learned some hard lessons, takes care of the football, but if they didn't play like this against Oklahoma, I don't know, 13th, maybe out of desperation and pity and self-loathing, you'd put them below. No, you can never put them below Baylor. But they did enough to make us believe that there is a dream scenario to upset Oklahoma State. And as we've learned in the Big 12, Mitch, nobody's safe. Even at home, you can be had. Is it likely? No. But BYU showed a little something. It was a gutsy effort in a loss against Oklahoma.
If BYU beats Oklahoma State next week, I need the WWE to make a championship belt, a bowl-eligible belt for BYU. Rounding out the Big 12 power rankings, number 12, Houston. Number 13, Cincinnati. Not a good year for Scott Satterfield. We saw it coming at Big 12 Media Day. It's not a surprise. But still, to see Cincinnati once a playoff team, to now be this, where they're a three-win team, kind of disappointing. And then number 14, rounding it out, Baylor Bears. Any chance Dave Aranda's back next year?
They would be wise to keep him, I think.
Interesting.
I don't think Baylor is a destination job. I think Dave Aranda, give him one more year. Let's see if you can turn it around.
Maybe get into the Jeff Traylor sweepstakes at UTSA if Texas A&M doesn't get
the Texan. Is
that
a guarantee it's going to be an upgrade? I mean, for 1 year, maybe.
He's a Texan, though. He could do the Joey McGuire thing and just rope off Texas with recruits.
Well,
lean in.
Better do some back channeling then, huh? Before you make a decision.
We shall see. That's the Big 12 Power Rankings this week on 1st and 12. You can check out the full list on kslsports.com, the write-up every week on Sundays on kslsports.com and the KSL Sports app. Big 12 Sound Roundup, the best sound bites from coaches and players around the league coming up next. And it's all powered by KSL Sports.
The Big 12 Sound Roundup.
Check 1-2.
The best bites, cheap shots, and excuses from the week's post-game news conferences.
Welcome back into 1st and 12 here on this Sunday morning. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte filling in for Alex Keery, who's down in Las Vegas for F1. 1st and 12 brought to you by Macy's Grocery Store. Happy shopping. Get the freshest fruits and vegetables from local farms and your favorite local brands. Macy's, happy shopping. You heard the open Big 12 Sound Roundup. Let's get out to Oklahoma head coach Brent Venables after his team took down BYU 31-24 in Provo.
What a heck of an effort that was by BYU. Coach had no surprise. They've played really well at home. And they're outscored their opponents 41-10 on forced turnovers. And today we outscored them 21-0 on turnovers. Big, obviously a huge part in the game. We've outscored our opponents 91-3 off of turnovers in our 9 wins this season. So really proud of the guys, the way they battled from the beginning to the end. There was we were uncharacteristically not gap sound several times, and we did work option, and we had two kind of plans. One of them was good enough to win, but not very good plan. But our guys overcame that, and played a little better in the second half. Again, I had a three-play drive, four-play drive, had a pick six, and that drive got all the way down there. What a heck of a play by Billy. And then a forced fumble, you know, the very next drive, Danny knocks it loose. And then another three and out the very next drive. So gotten a little bit of a rhythm, got some confidence, a little sound, more sound in the run game. And Dylan, again, in the offense, was playing good, playing well. Again, all things considered, and you know, had, I think he was 13 of 21, I believe, or just under 200 yards. Had a couple of touchdowns, no interceptions, and he's got an upper body injury, but I think he'll be back and available pretty quick. But Jackson came in and just did a lot of little stuff the right way, you know, protected the football. You know, chewed up some yards, made good decisions, distributed it really well. Guys played well around him. You know, had the chance. We had the double move, and it was wide open for the two touchdown lead there. And just got a little anxious. He was so wide open. But you know, red zone offense was really good today. Obviously, we missed one of the field goals down there. But you know, the one that they were two out of three, and the one that we stopped obviously was the pick six. Danny, I don't know, I think he had 10 tackles. You know, he's on IVs, literally, you know, I didn't think he was going to play, but he said he was going no matter what. I think he had a little bit of flu bug, and was really sick all day yesterday, last night, this morning, you know, wasn't able to join us for much of anything. And, but, you know, he's like, my butt's playing, and I've cleaned it up a little bit. But that's what you loves about Danny. This is a team that likes to play. They like to compete. We don't always coach them perfect. You know, we got a lot to get better at. You know, we had several false start penalties today, but we did football, difference in the game. And again, the defense continues to fight. You know, they've played pretty dang good on the season. So this is one of those moments. They're not prepared for the worst case scenario mentally and physically. If they don't have good leadership, things could go south there in the second half and just not can get pretty splintered, and that's not how they responded. They responded like you would want them to, like a champion would do, and a group of guys that are highly invested, and they care about each other, they care about their opportunity, and they care about their product they put out on the field. And so they you know, they took ownership and figured stuff out there in the second half. So fantastic. You know, I think Rondale got his first fumble recovery, and Gavin, that's his third straight 100 yard plus game. So he was fantastic, broke a lot of tackles, and the offensive line was really good for most of the day. And
Brett Venables was very complimentary of BYU and the scene in Provo. Good stuff from Venables there after his Sooners take down BYU and still remain in that championship game hunt heading into the final weekend in the Big 12. Another coach that's also in the running to get back to the Big 12 championship game is Kansas State. Here's Chris Klieman after his team got the Sunflower Rivalry win over Kansas.
Resolve, toughness, battling for your brothers. That was a good football team we beat in a really good environment, and we knew we were going to get their best shot, and I think we did get their best shot. For a while, it didn't look very good. We were struggling to slow them down on defense. They do a good job of shift trade and motions and getting us misaligned, and give them credit. I thought they did some good things, but we hung in there. We just hung in there on some stuff. Made some corrections in the third quarter finally. I think we get three or four stops in a row, a couple picks that we had to have. And then our offense, when they had to make plays, made big-time plays. I mean, we had some big-time drives. We had 10 plays, 87 yards in the third quarter to get it close, and then six plays, 55 yards to take the lead. And I knew they were going to have one more shot at coming back, and they did a nice drive. We get the big pick, and then nothing better than finishing the game on offense and running the clock out with a couple big first downs.
There you go. That's Chris Klieman, Kansas State head coach. One of the best coaches in the Big 12. There's no doubt about it. He is truly one of the best in this league, and he will be going forward in the conference. We close out the Big 12 Sound Roundup with BYU running back Aiden Robbins, who had a career performance as a BYU Cougar, along with cornerback Eddie Heckard, who had some strong takes about his feelings of how BYU stacked up against Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, it's big. I mean, you can turn into a shootout, but if you can't take care of the ball, you won't win any football games. Simple.
How deflating was that 100-yard pick, and how resilient did the offense show that they marched right downfield on their very next drive?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it stings a little bit, especially when you drive all the way down, you get to the 2-yard line or whatever, but I mean, that's football. It's all about adversity, and it's life lessons, man. I mean, when adversity hits you in the face, how you going to respond? So, you know, we still had time on the clock. We knew we was going to get the ball right back. So it's just all about responding at that point.
Before that pick six, were you surprised you didn't get the ball on that play?
a little bit, but, you know, I mean, it is what it is. You know, it happened, and can't do anything to change that.
Eddie, it's now do or die time to get bowl eligible one more game, but what can you take from this game going against one of the top teams into Stillwater?
That we're fine. We're one of them teams. I mean, we had the chance to go up on them late, and, I mean, they made a play, and, you know, to me, we're better than them, so that's how I feel. I don't think we got nothing else to say about them. They was a good team, but we better.
What do you think kind of went into some of the longer third down conversions that they had on offense?
Just execution by them. Us not executing, it was just that's what they did. I mean, they're a good team. Now they ranked. They beat Texas, Bama. So, I mean, they beat Texas, not Bama. But, yeah, they're good. I mean, number 12, you know, I had my hands full this game, so. I already knew what was up.
That was BYU running back Aiden Robbins and cornerback Eddie Heckard after they fell to Oklahoma 31-24. And that'll do it for the Big 12 Sound Roundup. Here on 1st and 12, taking a break, we'll get to the Four Corners whip around. How did the new schools that'll be joining next year from the Pac-12, how'd they fare over the weekend? Just a tease, they didn't do so well. We'll talk about that next in the Four Corners Whip Around here on 1st and 12, and it's powered by KSL Sports.
The following is a presentation of KSL Sports. 1st and 12. A total roundup of this weekend's BYU football and the new look Big 12 Conference. 1st and 12 is sponsored by Macy's Grocery Store. Your hosts are Mitch Harper and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone.
Breaking down the new look Big 12 every single Sunday, 10 a.m. to noon, here on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone. Appreciate all of you tuning into the program every single week. Looking at the new Big 12, yes, we're looking at the current 14-team iteration this year, but we're always keeping an eye out for the new teams that are going to be joining next year. That's the four corner schools, Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, and Colorado, all of which were in action this weekend. And Matt, let's start off with Utah and Arizona. It was a tough weekend for these four corner schools, except for one. The Utes get hammered down in Tucson, 42-18, as Arizona rolls on number 22, Utah.
That thing was over before it began, it felt like. 21-0 after the first quarter. Arizona, can we recognize the job that Jed Fish is doing down there? He's recruiting well. And you know what I love, too? In the transfer portal era, it's very easy to bring on said incoming transfer and just say, well, we got to make this guy happy. We brought him in. We're riding with him. They had Jaden DeLora. He was okay. He flashed here and there, just like he did at Wazoo, but there wasn't enough consistency there. They gave this guy, Noah Fifita, a shot. He runs the offense better, and they're just rolling with him, and they're winning. Yeah. 22 of 30, two TDs. It's kind of a scary thought, too. Dude is a freshman. Like, this Arizona team next year, look, I don't want to take anything away from what Utah's done. And this might be a little hot takey, but is Arizona the best team next year of the four corner schools? Because it's certainly not Arizona State. It's not going to be your Colorado Buffs.
Yeah.
It's Utah or Arizona. And after what we just saw today, they are young. They got a dang good quarterback. Where does Utah go to quarterback next year? I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Arizona is the best of the four next year.
It's an interesting thought because Arizona's been outstanding. Like you said, Noah Fifita has been just an absolute stud. You wonder, though, if Jed Fish is going to be back. You
know, what?
His name's been linked to maybe if UCLA opens up. Chip
UCLA's not opening up. They just blew the doors off USC.
Is that enough, though, to keep Chip Kelly? Do they want to start clean slate going into the Big Ten? He's also been a name linked to Mississippi State, maybe.
If your name was Mitchell Jeffrey Harper III and you were an up-and-coming coach, yep. How would you feel about the UCLA job? It was hard.
Wouldn't want it at all.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Look, college coaches aren't as dumb as we think. Okay, they're not going to go out and snatch the next Lincoln Riley. I mean, that's a hard job, and it's getting harder going to the Big Ten. I'm sorry, but who out there is a definite upgrade that you can have over Chip Kelly?
I'm with you. There's been so much rumors about Chip Kelly, and then people have thought, oh, Jed Fish was at UCLA. He knows the power brokers maybe at UCLA.
You can come in there and lose your job for 2 years, or you could build Arizona into a contender in the Big 12.
See, if I'm Jed Fish, I'm staying at Arizona because he can make a lot of money, one, in Arizona. And in the 12-team playoff, you can get to the playoff with Arizona. If this Arizona team was in, you know, if the 16-team Big 12 was put together this year and there was a 12-team playoff, they're probably vying for the title. They're probably vying for a playoff spot right now.
Yeah.
Arizona's playing great football. That was a huge win for them. Utah's era of dominance in the Pac-12 comes to a close. Four losses for the Utes. I think, again, people have just thought Utah is going to run the Big 12 next year.
No.
Just hold the phone here. Because, one, there's always a transition whenever you're going into a new league for anyone. Arizona will face it. Arizona State, Colorado. Maybe not as drastic as the newcomers this year in the Big 12 because they've already been operating in Power 5 expenses. But it's just when you're not familiar with these opponents, the tendencies, the style of play, it could be, you know, jarring. I mean, Utah struggled with Baylor, and Baylor's terrible in this league this year. So just kind of hold the phone before saying Utah's just going to waltz in and run the Big 12. Arizona, maybe they step in and become an instant contender.
And here's the other thing, too. If you had to take Baylor, would Baylor beat Cal? Would Baylor beat Arizona State?
Would Baylor beat Arizona State, I think.
Would Baylor beat Stanford? I just feel like
Baylor maybe in September, maybe. Now, no.
Yeah, you're right. Now, no. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is the Big 12 to me this year in particular. Look, the Pac-12, much better at the top.
Yes.
You would take the Pac-12s, Oregon's, Washington's all day over anybody that the Big 12 has to offer. But when you get to 3 through 11.
Well said.
I don't think there's even a debate. The Big 12 is better. And that's why you're seeing these wild games week after week where it's like, whoa, Oklahoma almost loses, or Oklahoma State goes down to swampy Orlando and loses. Like, I just don't feel like any team coming into the new Big 12 next year, these corner schools, they're not good enough today to come in and dominate next year. This isn't Georgia or Alabama moving conferences. Like, Utah's had a really nice run. I'm not trying to hammer on them or take away from them, but it is naive to think you're just going to show up and dominate.
And it was naive of myself to think that Coach Prime in Colorado was going to show up this year and just run the college football world. They're now 4-7, not going to go to a bowl game unless the Pac-12 actually does clear a waiver to allow 5-7 teams to go bowling. Buffs just get wrecked by Washington State, 56-14. Is Coach Prime, his best days already behind him? I think that's a little bit of a reach.
Yeah, it's a reach. He made a costly mistake a few weeks ago that's going to haunt him for years. And that was demoting Sean Lewis when it was clearly not Sean Lewis's fault. Yep. And you bring up, I can't even remember this dude's name now. He's so old. Help me. Who'd they bring up? It wasn't Tim DeRuiter. He has nothing to do with Colorado. It wasn't Kubiak. I can't remember who it was. I'm not well versed in my analysts for Colorado Buffaloes. Sean Lewis is leaving. There's going to be other coaches that leave. If you're an assistant coach and you look at that and you say, he might ruin my career if I come here. If I don't do it the right way immediately, I'm going to get demoted. I'm going to become a co-coordinator. I feel like there's a coaching issue. He'll always be able to attract talent, but you got to be able to have a good, solid assistant coaching staff with you if you're going to do anything good. Because no offense to Prime, he's just not a tactician. He's not an in-game adjustments guy. He's a recruiter. And around that type of coach, you have to have good assistant coaches. And I thought that demoting Sean Lewis was a big mistake.
I agree with you completely. Arizona State, they fall big to Oregon, 49-13. Sun Devils going through a transition year in year one of Kenny Dillingham. They're 3-8 on the season. No bowl for them. It's a tough year for the Sun Devils.
That's a hard job. I hope that they're patient with Kenny Dillingham. I like that he feels strongly about Arizona State, but Herm Edwards left that thing in a bad spot. That was like you went in, you found a foreclosure on the market. It looked good on the outside. You opened the doors and you were like, oh my goodness. There is the toilets have flooded and rotten floor. And it's like, you got to rip that thing down. Arizona State, it's tough. It's going to be several years before they're competing.
That's your Four Corners whip around. They'll check in with the newcomers in the Big 12 Conference next year when they join August 2nd, 2024. Taking our final break, what's next in the Big 12? What's coming up right around the corner here on First and 12, powered by KSL Sports.
Can't get enough BYU football? Listen to Cougar Nation. Mitch Harper takes your calls Monday nights from 6 to 7 on KSL News Radio. Podcast at kslnewsradio.com.
That's right. Tomorrow night, 6 to 7, myself and my co-host today, Matt Biamonte. We will be taking your calls, Cougar Nation, to give you an outlet, to vent, to share your thoughts, your feelings on BYU football. All tomorrow night, 6 to 7 on Cougar Nation. That podcast is also available on kslsports.com, just like this one, First and 12, which is sponsored by Macy's Grocery Store. Macy's, happy shopping. Get the freshest fruits and vegetables from local farms and your favorite local brands. Macy's, happy shopping. Let's look ahead, Matt, to what's next in the Big 12. Can you believe final week of the regular season already? Week number 13. Season just flies by, man.
I can't believe it. It's depressing, honestly. I think it's easy in the middle part of the year to take it for granted a little bit, and then it passes you by. Like, it's Thanksgiving week, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
And then the season is over. And if BYU doesn't pull a rabbit out of a hat, the season is done after the Oklahoma State game.
I remember telling my kids around August, like the end of August when school started, I said, guys, before we know it, it's going to be Christmas. It's going to be like Thanksgiving, because that's what happens with football season. It goes in a hurry. And before we know it, it's going to be Big 12 championship game and away we go. And then hopefully we get Big 12 football media day quick soon enough in next July to get back at it on football. But it's just crazy to see how fast it truly does go. We got a loaded slate of games as the Big 12, man. It's crazy. So here's the standings again. The Big 12 championship game race. Number one's Texas at 7-1. Number two, Oklahoma State. They control their destiny, and they're going to play BYU. Number three, Oklahoma. Number four, Kansas State. That's your top four teams. Iowa State's 5, but they're 5-3. They're kind of out of the situation going forward. So that's your top four teams heading into the final weekend, and it creates opportunity for great network television games. That's what we see here, as the Big 12 is in some great spots, and it starts on Friday Black Friday, TCU at Oklahoma, the final Big 12 regular season game for the Sooners.
And the first game of many in the Big 12, Mitch, where a team has a chance to get to bowl eligibility. How sweet would it be for TCU to get to 6-6, completely eliminate Oklahoma? Last thing I think the Big 12 wants to see is Texas-Oklahoma rematch.
Yeah.
So to put a nail in the coffin there and to get TCU to a bowl game would be a big win for the new Big 12.
A nail in the coffin is a perfect way to summarize that. Texas Tech at Texas, 5:30 p.m. on ABC. Remember, Brett Yormark said, hey, I'm going to be at that game in Thanksgiving weekend. Red Raiders, you better get it done. He was kind of playing to the crowd. And I love Yormark. He didn't apologize when the media was probing him and saying, how could you say that? You're a commissioner. He's like, I'm just playing to my crowd, man. Like, he was in front of Texas Tech boosters.
Texas Tech is here for the long term, and Texas isn't. Sorry.
There you go. Do you think there's any chance the Red Raiders spring the upset? I think there might be a shot here.
There's the same shot that BYU has at beating Oklahoma State, which is sub 20%. Right? I mean, Baron Morgan could go wild, and they could maybe run the football a little bit. Not having Jonathan Brooks puts a little more dependency on Quinn Ewers, but it's at home. I don't see Texas Tech getting that one.
That's the Black Friday slate. Saturday is where things really ramp up. It starts off 10 a.m. Houston at UCF on FS1. Can the Knights get that sixth win and get to bowl eligibility? I think they will, Matt. What say you?
I do, too. I think so. And that's the second game on the slate where a Big 12 team can get to bowl eligibility. And look, again, I think people inside the Big 12 get as many of these teams to 6-6 as possible. It's good for the league to have it balanced like that. So UCF, I think they're going to do it at home. However, you know, I shouldn't say however. Let me back that up. I think they will. They handled the Cowboys at home. They've been playing good at home. I think they do it.
Let's go to the night games. We'll get to BYU in a moment here. West Virginia at Baylor, 5 p.m. FS1. I think West Virginia cruises, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Baylor's not going to put up a fight. Kansas at Cincinnati, 5 p.m. or 5:30 on ESPN2. Cincinnati show any fight?
Give me the Cats. Give me the Bearcats. Kansas, what do they have to play for? That's the thing. They're down to their third string quarterback, for heaven's sakes. Is Bean going to be able to go?
He might, but.
Okay, well, if Bean can go and he's effective, that changes things.
The motivation's a good point, though, because what's the difference between Pop-Tart Bowl and Texas Bowl?
Not a lot.
There's not a whole lot. Iowa State at Kansas State, 6 p.m. on Fox. That's a good one.
That is a good one. Kansas State's going to get the win. And then it really comes down to the game that shocked us when we saw what time it will be at and where it will be on TV.
BYU at Oklahoma State, 1:30 p.m. on ABC. Network television again. For these 5-6 Cougars looking to get to bowl eligibility. Matt, I got to say, if BYU pulls it off, it'd be maybe the greatest win in the Kalani era.
No, that's too far.
What win would be better? If they take down nationally ranked Oklahoma State.
Let me take you back to a time when BYU got invited to the Big 12, and then the next game they played was a huge rivalry win.
This one would be bigger.
No way.
BYU beating Oklahoma State? BYU's never beat Oklahoma State.
BYU won in Madison, Wisconsin.
Stillwater features a man with a beautiful mullet. Mike Gundy, let me tell you something, Matt. This is Oklahoma State. Are you kidding me? This would be a massive win. Going into Stillwater? A conference game?
It would be a huge win, but it would not be the best win in the Kalani era.
I think it would. I think it'd be number one.
That would secure a spot in the Great Western Mac and Cheese Bowl down in Birmingham, Alabama.
Sign me up. That's way better than a December with no football, right? Sign me up for the Independence Bowl. Please. Please. You know BYU would be in Shreveport again if they win.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I'm
sign me up for more football. I won't say no.
BYU and Oklahoma State's going to be a fun game, though. Ollie Gordon, special player for Oklahoma State. I always remember BYU recruited him. He was in like BYU was in the final three. How that guy ended up at Oklahoma State is remarkable. You would think, based on his profile coming out of high school, the guy was so productive in the Fort Worth area, and he ends up at Oklahoma State. I thought Alabama would have been coming calling. They might be maybe this offseason because Oklahoma State's got to make him a priority to retain him next year. But I'm excited for that game. And just to have an element too, Matt, of Oklahoma State is playing for a championship bid. BYU can truly be the spoiler. That's a fun dynamic that BYU hasn't experienced in 10-plus years.
We talked about it all month long, that even though BYU is reeling a bit, would there be a scenario at the end of the year where you could ruin Oklahoma's season, which they had the opportunity to do? Maybe not ruin, but eliminate from the Big 12 championship game. They failed to do so. They have a second crack at it. Bowl eligibility is one thing, but to keep somebody out of the Big 12 championship game, that is a unique situation. It's a fun storyline to have this week for BYU.
Cannot wait, and we will have you covered as we always do on Cougar Sports Saturday, Cougar Nation, and KSLSports.com. Appreciate all of you listening on KSL News Radio and the KSL Sports Zone. We'll be back next Sunday, 10 a.m. to noon, right here on First and 12, and it's powered by KSL Sports.